Been joined on the line by a former footballer, Matt Piper. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you for asking. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Good, brilliant. We'll come on to your book very, very shortly, but let's sort of turn the clock back. I did introduce you as a former footballer. You played for Leicester City and Sunderland, but unfortunately you had to retire from football at the age of 26. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, I think you were told to quit football. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. It was actually, I thought over the years since I quit, Peter, I've been saying that I quit at 26. I actually quit at 24. I didn't quite realise that until I started doing, delving into the past and some of the things for the book that I needed to know. And it was actually 24, so yeah, I quit rather quite soon. Got my move to Sunderland. Been at Leicester since I was 8 years old. Then got my move to Sunderland when I was 21. Just before I turned 21. Had a few years in the Premiership with Sunderland and then in the Championship, won the Championship, and then injuries started to happen, and then 16 knee operations later, I flew over to America where I seen a surgeon called Richard Stedman, who was one of the best in the world at the time, and he sort of said, really need to call it a day.
Did you say 16? Or did I hear that right or did I hear that wrong?
Yeah, you did. No, you heard it right. I'm at 21 now, but at that time, I had 16 knee operations, 8 on each knee. So I evened it out, but it didn't save my career, unfortunately.
No. Obviously, when a footballer, unfortunately, has to hang his boots up, so to speak, Matt, it always is a frustrating and difficult time for you. Now, I know you said you've been at Leicester City for a while. Did you enjoy your time when you were at Leicester and Sunderland, when you were actually playing?
I did. Looking back through it now, I mean, I was the most games I played on the bounce was 9. Mm. So I got in the first team at Leicester. I played the first 9 games, then I got injured, and then I come back and played a couple more. Then I got my move to Sunderland. I think I played 6 on the bounce there, then got injured. So that was really the story of my career. It was not being able to string a large amount of games together, which was frustrating, yes, but also it's sort of in your mind then. I think players now that get to, they get to the highest level, they play a certain amount of games and then they start to understand how to deal with the pressure, how to deal with everything that goes with the mental side of playing at the top level. I think if you're always injured and you're never really stringing those amounts of games together, you never really do get to grips with, trying to deal with that pressure and the importance of playing at that level and what it means to the manager, the club, the fans. So a lot of the time, it wasn't enjoyable, if I'm honest. And I think that comes across in the book. I found it very difficult to sort of enjoy it. And if we won, I would enjoy it for that night. And then obviously you're preparing again then for the next big game on the horizon. There was nerves. There was self-doubt, I think. A lot of self-doubt was in there. And I purely put that down to not having the amount of games to be able to start to understand mentally how to deal with playing football at that level.
I believe I'm right in saying, I'm sure you'll shout me down if I'm totally wrong, you actually have the honour, or you had the honour, should I say, Matt, of scoring the last ever goal at Filbert Street.
That's true. That's one of the things. Luckily, I scored the last goal and then the stadium got demolished. So that's one thing no one can ever take away from me. which I'm very happy about. Because being a Leicester lad, obviously I was born in Leicester. But being a Leicester lad and going to that stadium since I was 5 or 6 years old, growing up, seeing all those magnificent players play at that ground, it is probably, even though it's not huge, it's probably the highlight of my career. I won the championship when I was at Sunderland, so that was a very special time. But when you've not played, I think I played 55, 56 first team professional games at the highest level. So when you haven't got many highlights in your career, you hold on to the ones that you've got, and scoring that last ever goal at Filbert Street is definitely one of them.
And there, if anyone's listening to this and there's a quiz question comes up, there's your answer, you see. You,
there you go.
You can take Matt Piper, can't you? I know that one. just turning to some serious thought now, Matt. Obviously, as you said, unfortunately you had to retire young, as the case may be, due to injuries. And then, unfortunately, would it be fair to say that you did hit almost rock bottom? I mean, you had various battles with drink, drugs, you turned to alcohol, mainly to cope with depression.
Yeah, I think so. The first 2 years were great when I finished, because the weird thing is, actually, when I finished, and that surgeon, Richard Steadman, said to me that you should quit football, you should never play again because of your knees, it actually felt like a huge relief. And the first thing I did was go away on a snowboarding holiday with my brother and all my friends. They had done it every year since we were like 16, 17, and because I was a footballer, that's, you know, in the contract, there's certain things that you can't do: ride a motorbike, go away skiing, snowboarding, certain things like that. So I sort of went away with them, and it was an awesome experience. And then for 2 years I sort of lived off the money that I had made while I was a footballer, always believing that I would find my true calling and whatever was going to be next. So I sort of had that excitement, and then after 2 years, when the money's running out and you've not found anything that you loved as much as football, that is when all the problems started to happen. And that's when I started turning to drink. I got really depressed, drugs, my life sort of unraveled, and it all came to a head one afternoon when I took too many pills and I almost ended my life. So yeah, it did get all the way down to rock bottom until it started heading in the other direction, and I solely put that down to finding my purpose. So when I'm 8 years old, my main purpose in life is to become a professional footballer. You finally get there, you're doing what you've dreamt about all them years, so you're happy, you're content. Once that was all gone, when the injuries happened, I didn't have then a main purpose in life, something to strive for, something to pull me forward. And that's when it unraveled for me.
Your battle with drink and drugs, etc., alcohol, depression, etc., was this a long-term battle or not?
It was 18 months. It was 18 months from the first time I started drinking every day. I got up to drinking two bottles of whiskey a day, and I was on a drug called Valium. I smoked marijuana. So the mix of alcohol, Valium, and marijuana just sort of made me spiral even further into my depression. And it lasted for 18 months. I caused a lot of people hurt in that time, people close to me, family members, friends, acquaintances, and it just kept going downhill until it got to that day where I failed at taking my own life. And I woke up in the hospital, and there were two doctors arguing over whether I should be sectioned or not. And then I found a place called Sporting Chance, which is run by the ex-Arsenal and England captain, Tony Adams. And I went into there for 6 weeks. It's sort of a rehab clinic. And we didn't really talk about the football. We just talked about life and moving forward. And that place really helped me turn things around. And I came out of there with a more positive attitude towards life and trying to get better in myself. But the main thing it gave me, while I was in there, I found my purpose, which was coaching, helping the next generation. And not just in football, in life. And that is what I live for every day now. And that allows me to move forward on a daily basis.
you mentioned about the wonderful job that, of course, the charity Sporting Chance does, quite understandably so, Matt. But also, I believe that you owe a lot of your life and a lot of this, apart from to Sporting Chance, to a horse, don't you?
I do. That was one of the things that they do in Sporting Chance. It's called equine therapy, where you get to look after a horse while you're in there, and all these horses were abused. So you saw a creature that big, and you know, the first few times you go up to it, it sort of runs away and bolts away from you, and you have to try and build that rapport and that relationship with it. And I do put a lot of my time down there. People think it's crazy because they think, how's a horse stop you from drinking? But the fact that it's a huge animal, and it was abused. Mine was called Maron. It was from Portugal, and it used to be in like a circus or a fair, and it used to get whipped and beat all the time. So you have to have that understanding and that relationship with the horse, and then we became really close. And it was one of the saddest points about leaving Sporting Chance, about leaving Maron behind. But we used to go and see the horse 2-3 times a week, and that really helped me to have a connection again. So it wasn't a connection with a human being, because I had lost all those connections, but it helped me to have a connection again and a relationship with a huge creature like a horse. And I can't really explain it, but that helped me so much in my development in taking steps forward to get better.
So much so that you mentioned about coaching. I know how much you thoroughly enjoy coaching in particular. It's good to hear that's going well also, Matt. But of course, you found time to write a book, which comes out on the 31st of August. It's called Out of the Darkness, From the Top to the Bottom. I suppose, it, to be fair, it just about sums up, well, not just your life, but certain footballers' lives throughout their entire career, it has to be said, in particular. What made you actually write that book, Matt?
Well, it came around because I never thought that I would write a book, you know, especially an autobiography, because, yes, I was a footballer, but as I've already said, I only played 50 or so games at the top level. I'm definitely not a household name. But I did an interview for 442 magazine in the summer of 2019, and it went really well, and a lot of people read it in the magazine and online. And the guy who wrote the article is a big Leicester fan, and he said, I think there's a book in there somewhere. So I said, when he first said, I said, don't be stupid, no one's going to buy that book. But then when you start to understand that it's not, you know, the things that happened on the pitch, it's the things building up to it, a few of the things that happened on the pitch, but most of it is how life can unravel afterwards. And it was just a different story to tell. And we started talking about it, and we started writing it, and it really felt like quite a powerful book that hopefully will be able to help, you know, lots of people in all walks of life that are going through depression or they're going through a struggle at the minute. So I'm really proud of it. It's been a long time in the making. Well, it feels it like it has. We started it late 2019, but it got done. And I think it's a powerful story, and it's about hope. It's about finding that purpose in your life, because it really can set you on a path to having a better life. So, yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it coming out and people giving it their honest appraisal.
It's always difficult to get things out in the open, isn't it, Matt? I mean, obviously, subjects like this that we've been discussing can be really extremely difficult and demanding for somebody or certain people in particular. But do you feel now more and more sports people, I'll take that as an example, are wanting to come out with all these situations that have really troubled them in the past?
I think so. I mean, I've always described myself as an open book anyway. So I do a lot of talking and sharing
But it's interesting because when I was a footballer, and like I said, when I didn't put those runner games together, I found it quite difficult to manage the pressure and the self-doubt and all these kinds of things. When you sort of look back, even though I consider myself an open book, I didn't talk to anyone about them. I had a panic attack when I was at Sunderland while I was injured, and I didn't tell a soul. I didn't tell the physio department, I didn't tell the doctor, I didn't talk about it with the manager or the players. So I think football, especially, but generally men that I've come across, don't like to talk about those things that still have huge stigma attached to them: depression, mental health, mental illness. But I think more and more, the more people that talk about it and books like this that will come out, hopefully it will show people that if you can open up to someone you trust and begin that process, it does make it a lot easier, so everything is just not within your own head.
Matt, absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for spending so much of your time and being open and honest as you have been. Just a quick reminder, Out of the Darkness by Matt Piper is published by Pitch Publishing, and it's available at all good bookshops online, etc. as well, from the end of the month, 31st of August. Matt, thanks once again. The very, very best of luck with the book, and the very best of luck with the rest of your life and your career as well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.